بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم، نحمده ونصلی علی رسول الکریم، اما بعد، الحمدللہ. Tonight is the 19th of February in the year 2019. Alhamdulillah, I started the subsection last night in which we are now discussing the subject with regards to sacred knowledge. And the last thing I mentioned was Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh's quote in Umdatul Qari, volume 1, page 8, where he said, "A person cannot be a true hadith expert until he takes hadith from those who are older than him, a similar age to him, and younger than him." Hafiz Aini then said, rahmatullah alayh, "A maxim by which he evidently lived his life." So, like I mentioned yesterday, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, he said to Imam Tirmidhi, his student, "I have benefited more from you than you have from me." Recorded by Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani in his Tahdhib al-Tahdhib, volume 9, page 389. So how can the teacher benefit more from the student? And the response is his own words. Because you cannot become a true expert of hadith unless you take the hadith from three categories: those who are older, the seniors; those who are of the same generation; and those who are younger. That's why Hafiz Aini said he lived his life like this. So he himself became the Amir al-Mu'mineen of hadith. Thus true and profound knowledge is gained by those who are most humble in their quest for the prophetic legacy. Notice how humility is linked to knowledge. Take for instance the Honorable Tabi'i Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani, rahmatullah alayh. Hafiz Zahabi, rahmatullah alayh, in his Siyar, volume 6, page 17, Imam Malik, rahmatullah alayh, said, "We used to enter upon Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani, rahmatullah alayh, and when we mention a hadith of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to weep until we pitied him." So who's the narrator? Imam Malik. Imam Malik said, whenever we went into the gathering of Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani, and when we mentioned hadith, he would weep. And he would weep until we pitied him. So why was he weeping so much? Because this is the impact on a pure heart when you narrate the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also related about this noble man, Hafiz Zahabi, in his Siyar, volume 6, page 17. Ayyub rahmatullah alayh was so assiduous in his worship that he used to stay up all night. But come morning, he used to yawn loudly in order to conceal it, i.e. giving the impression he had awoken from a deep slumber. So think about this. Worshipping all night, and he's given the impression at Fajr he's had a cracking sleep. So what is he now displaying? Sincerity. Fear of Riyah. But the people obviously the students realize. So combine the two reports. Notice this was a Tabi'in. But his knowledge was shown in his deeds. No other than Hassan al-Basri said about him, rahmatullah alayh, "This is the Sayyid of the young men of Basra." This is the Sayyid, i.e. the chief of the young men of Basra. Recorded by Hafiz Zahabi rahmatullah alayh in his Siyar, volume 6, page 18. Think about that. Who's the most famous scholar most people say is from Basra? Hassan al-Basri. Okay, that's why you say al-Basri. But he said the Sayyid of the youth of Basra is Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani. So a Tabi'in said about him, he's the Sayyid, meaning he's the next level. While Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Taba Tabi'in, who met 86 Tabi'in, he said, "I have never met anyone like Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani." This is recorded by Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar, volume 6, page 17. So you can only appreciate these statements if you know who these people are. For example, if I mention a name and you know nothing about him, and he's praising somebody, no impact. Why? Because who's the guy praising? But if we mention, for example, Abu Bakr praises somebody, straight away you'll feel that, because we've recently been through his life. radiyallahu anhu. But Sufyan ibn Uyayna was a phenomenon. He said, I have never met anyone like Ayyub. Hasan al-Basri said, he's the Sayyid of Basra. It then comes as no surprise that Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani said, rahmatullah alayh, in Taqrib, volume 1, page 117, Ayyub al-Sakhdiyani's narrations are recorded in all of the Siha Sitta. He's a narrator that they've all accepted. Bukhari's accepted him. Nasa'i, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah. He goes, he's a universally accepted narrator. Nobody has found any fault with him. Ayyub al-Sakhdiyani, rahmatullah alayh. Indeed, Ayyub al-Sakhdiyani, rahmatullah alayh, why did he have that knowledge? Now think about that. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, we know famously he was very, very strict in accepting reports. He would reject saints because of his high category, his high standard of acceptance. Why did he accept Ayyub al-Sakhdiyani? So even with basic knowledge, you're thinking he must be like an angel. Rahmatullah alayh. But these names we are not even acquainted with. Imagine, astaghfirullah, right? A person might live and die not even knowing or even heard of this great man, Ayyub al-Sakhdiyani, rahmatullah alayh. Ayyub al-Sakhdiyani, rahmatullah alayh, was a perfect example of the true alim. Why? Because our beloved messenger is reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever increases in knowledge without increasing in zuhd, i.e. detachment from the lower world, then in reality, he only increases in nothing but distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. This is in Daylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 6298 or 4-254. So this is a critical narration, telling you something about true knowledge. You've increased in knowledge. So who's telling you this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you haven't increased in zuhd. So could you relate the two? They're two separate subjects. They're not. You've increased in knowledge, but your zuhd, your detachment from the lower world, hasn't also increased. Then the only thing that's happening, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, is you're going further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is that telling you? What is the impact of true knowledge? You start having hatred for the dunya. Somebody goes to you, you look at the ulama now, I think, right? They're drowning in dunya, right? So the response is, how is this narration applicable to them? Right? The impact is in your connection to the dunya. So note, this is a sign of true scholarship. People say, he's an alim. Why is he an alim? Which person will say to you, stay away? Well, look at the way he's living. That's an alim. What do we say? But where is he studied? Timbuktu, right? He goes, how many teachers has he got? 57. Who gives the monkeys, mate? The Prophet said, zuhud. But don't forget, zuhud isn't living a poor life. You could be wealthy, but you haven't got a connection to dunya. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that, you know, you get a hermit, he's an alim. It means that the person, he's got dunya, but he doesn't really, he's not attached to it. That's the purpose of sacred knowledge. Knowledge is nothing but preparation for the next eternal life. In Surah Al-Anbiya, alayhi salatu wa salam, Surah 21, the very first verse, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Iqtaraba lin-nasi hisabuhum wa hum fi ghaflatin mu'ridun. Closer and closer to mankind comes their reckoning, yet they heed not and they turn away. So what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious say in the very first verse of Surah Al-Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? Closer and closer to mankind comes their reckoning. But then he says something very interesting. Yet they heed not and they turn away. So why is that a very strange statement that Allah Ta'ala is making? Leave Islam to one side. If you have an appointment for anything and the time is getting closer to the appointment, what is the natural, rational person? He worries more about it. You understand? So if somebody says to you, you got an appointment to see the doctors, he wants to see you. When is the appointment? 2 months' time. So obviously you think, okay, 2 months, it can't be that serious. But it's at the back of your mind. A week passes, it increases. When it gets closed, this is natural. But imagine, the appointment's getting closer, and you're going, you're less concerned. You take him to a psychiatric department. He goes, tomorrow, it's tomorrow. And he goes, don't worry about it. Right? This is what Allah Ta'ala is saying. Closer and closer, meaning you're taking each breath, you're getting closer to death. Closer and closer to mankind comes their reckoning. وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُؤْرِدُونَ Use the word غَفْلَة. غَفْلَة means like he's just ignorant. He heeds not, he turns away. What is causing that heedless, that غَفْلَة? The Quran doesn't mention it. But what is causing that very serious illness? The Prophet explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Hakim, it is Mustadrak 4-324, Sahih. Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahihah, number 1510. Our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last hour has drawn near. Yet people are ever becoming eager for this world and thus drawing away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last hour has drawn near, echoing the Quran. Yet people are ever becoming eager for this world and thus drawing away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet is telling you the purpose of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is for you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the exact opposite of that? When you attach yourself to dunya. When you attach yourself to dunya, the Prophet said you are drawing away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more attached you are, the further you're going away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to the previous report. Whoever increases in knowledge without zuhud, he only increases in distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the beauty. The Prophet is explaining himself. That's how you apply it. When a person goes, is this knowledge having impact? The first port of call is, what's my connection to dunya? Is it increasing? Is it getting less? And if you think it's getting less, then you go in the right way. But if you think, no, in fact, it's getting worse, then what is this knowledge? The Prophet said, you're only going further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu in Nasa'i ibn Kathir's tafsir, he relates, the Messenger of Allah recited this verse, the verse I recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fi ghaflatim mu'ridun, they heed not and turn away. He explained, in this world. Direct tafsir of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's look at the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, closer and closer to mankind comes their reckoning, yet they heed not and turn away. The Prophet added between the words, they heed not in this world. That is what's making them ghafla. Meaning this is the illness. What did I mention yesterday? Two types of people can never be satisfied. The one who acquires knowledge and the one who's after the world. Look how they all explain and the reports explain each other. Meaning either you're healthy or you're ill. There's no in between. If you're acquiring knowledge and you start realizing the worthlessness of the world, you're getting healthy. You're a healthy person. But if you're not acquiring knowledge, then automatically the world's got you. And if you got the world, you're going further and further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghafla, the Quran says. Such is the abode of deception, about which our loving Lord warned, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Luqman, alayhi salatu wa salam, Surah 31, verse 33. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Let not this present life deceive you. Think about that. Allah Ta'ala is asking you, telling you that. Do not let this dunya deceive you. Now think about that. When a person deceives you, you got to see him, you got to hear him. He's trying to rip you off basically. How can something you can't see, hear, taste start ripping you off? So obviously Allah Ta'ala is speaking the truth. You've missed something. Let not this present life deceive you. What? Attachment. If you attach, you're going away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what he means. So therefore, note, this is how you gauge knowledge. Not how many narrations you know, how many verses, how much tafsir. Your connection to the dunya. That's what it all boils down to. Go back to the ulama I mentioned, Abu Ayyub al-Sakhtiani. Detachment. They all had this detachment, whether they were wealthy or whether they were poor. They had that detachment. Why? Because they were true scholars. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, he reached a stage where he had to live eating grass. He was that destitute when he was compiling the narrations. But he goes, that was the best time of my life. That's what he said. Don't feel sorry for him. Feel sorry for yourself, mate. Right? You know, why are you feeling sorry for somebody going to Jannat al-Firdaus? Right? Look how strange that is. You know, you feel pity for Bachari. We call him Bachari. I mean, the guy who doesn't know left from right. Don't feel sorry for them. Feel sorry for yourself. The respect for the blessed scholars is paramount. Consider the famous words of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, the Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, every warner is a Qibla. Every warner is a Qibla. This is in Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat, volume 2, page 233 of the English translation in the chapter on Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh. So think about that. Now you hear people say this. Our respected Shaykh Qibla Saab. And people start having a laugh. He says, why are you calling Qibla for? Qibla's Kawa. There you go, in it. Fruitcake jumps in again. With that. Why did you rather ask, why did you call him a Qibla? Because Amir al-Mu'mineen said that. Every warner is a Qibla. So what does it mean? Just as one naturally honors the holy Kaaba, the same should be the case for the learned who share the priceless prophetic legacy. How much veneration have the people got for the Kaaba? They just shed tears just looking at it. And his blessings attached all around it. What does that sound similar to? An alim. Right? An alim. It's exactly the same. Full of blessings. And people are moved to tears when they see the true scholars. Similarly, note also the Qibla is a uniting point of all Muslims. Such also should be the glaring sign of a true scholar. Shaykh Hamza Yusuf al-Maliki, hafizahullah, he said, scholars unite the Muslims. If you see any disuniting, they're doing the work of shaitan. But again, tragedy of tragedies. Who's causing the disuniting of the Muslims? Onion sellers or the imams on the pulpits. Think about that. Is that what the Kaaba does? Disunite people. Right? Every Tom, Dick and Harry, Qibla, we face the Kaaba. Everybody's united. Even the sects of Islam. Then why is it that the warner isn't having that? Because that's not what he's supposed to bring people together. Like the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Consider also the following prophetic words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama are the keeper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Look how amazing these words are. Ulama, the scholars, are the keepers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. This is in Daylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 4036. Al-Qudai in his Musnad al-Shihab, number 115. Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimishq, 14-267. Hafiz ibn Abd al-Bar in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm 1-52 with a Hassan chain of transmission. So let's look at this. The scholars are the keepers of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You need to go to another report. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, barakah, blessings, is with your elders, the people of knowledge. Barakah, i.e. blessings, is with your elders, the people of knowledge. This is in Tabarani in his Ausat 9-16, Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 11,004, Hakim in his Mustadrak 1-62, Sahih, Ibn Hibban, number 559, Bazar 2-402, Al-Qudai in his Musnad al-Shihab, number 36-7, Khatib in his Tariq 11-165, Abu Nu'im al-Hilya 8-171-172. So two things. From the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars, they are the keepers of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, blessings lies with the people of knowledge. But he called them elders. Now why is that interesting? They can be young. So imagine you get an alim, and he's, let's say, in his 20s. The Prophet was giving you a clear sign. You still respect them. They're your elders, even though you may be older than them. Why? Because they're the keepers of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is through the scholars that we acquire the understanding and implementation of the deen. What's more important than that? Think about that. You wouldn't know even the basics of your deen without the ulama. And if that is the case, how much debt do you owe them? Somebody saves your life, what do the Chinese say? I've become your slave. Even the Chinese have that much sense. Because look, he saved your life, you're his slave. Not that you know, you're ball and chain, but you're always at his service. That's your physical life. What about your eternal life? What then do you become to that person? Right? So why? Because they are the keepers. Allah Ta'ala gave them that maqam. In another report that the hadith mentions, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the alim. They're the middlemen or women. What can be greater than that? Do you go direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do you go through a warner, the Qibla? Right? Note, so this is again the station which the Prophet was highlighting. Now fiqh. Fiqh means the correct understanding. Fiqh is of such importance in the believer's life. Think about this. The famous indiscretion on the part of the archers, radiyallahu ta'ala, guarding the pass at Uhud, was not a result of disobedience or rebellion, but an error and misunderstanding caused by not according proper attention to the command of Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's say that again. 70 archers were placed on Uhud. Because do not let the cavalry entrap us. That was their job. The Prophet gave them instructions. But famously, what happened? When they saw the initial victory of the Muslims, 63 of them left their post. Meaning, look, the Prophet was basically telling us that as long as the battle, that's what we understand. 7 of them remained. When they misunderstood the command of the Prophet, what happened? At Uhud. How would you describe it?
Victory turned into defeat.
Yes, not only defeat. Look at the devastation that it caused. Did the Sahaba disobey the command of the Prophet? No. What was the error then? Fiqh. They didn't have the fiqh. How does Allah the Almighty and Glorious refer to this indiscretion in the Quran? Look at the words he uses. In Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 155. He calls it a faltering caused by shaitan. Now you get people, they go, brother, the Quran and Sunnah, that's all you need. I'm sure you've heard that, right? Well, who disagrees with that, brother? What sort of a, you know, it's like saying, food and drink, that's all you need. Nobody tells you that. Why? Because it's common sense. Only a fruitcake says, I only need food, I only need water. So obviously, brother, Quran and Sunnah. But why are they making that statement? Because they're belittling fiqh. Where's fiqh in this, brother? And then they look at you and go, fiqh, brother, don't worry about fiqh, Quran and Sunnah. Then you say, oh, you haven't studied the Seerat. You're talking about the Sunnah. What happened at Uhud? Because the archers made a mistake and then the victory, yeah. But what was the slip? Did they disobey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. They misunderstood what he said. So where was the error? In fiqh. So what is the huge lesson we take from that? This, without fiqh, we become a toy or plaything for the accursed shaitan. Without fiqh, we become a toy or a plaything for the accursed shaitan. That's why you got the four imams. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad. And people get confused because look, Quran and Sunnah, that's all you need. What's these imams doing? And there you go. You've become a plaything in the hand of shaitan. If shaitan affected the Sahaba and we're not like their dust, what will he do to us? And this is why the hadith, very famous hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for a servant, He gives him the correct understanding of the deen. But the original words the Prophet used was this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for a servant, yufaqqihu fid deen. What word did he use? Fiqh. He gives him the fiqh of the deen. If he wants good for the servant, what's this fiqh, brother? That's a hadith. I want to know what that fiqh is. This is the understanding by the experts. You go to the experts, their understanding of the primary sources is where the safety lies. You leave the experts out of the Quran and Sunnah, you become a toy, a plaything for shaitan. For example, you get some very strange statements they make. He goes, I'm not a Hanafi, I'm not a Maliki, I'm not a Shafi, I'm not a Hanbali, I'm a Muslim. So the response to that is, oh, so they're kafirs. He goes, no, brother, this is causing division. How is it causing division? Because, well, there's four schools. And there's one Quran and Sunnah. And the response to that is, yes. So, are you telling me that when the Prophet utters words, there's only one meaning? You've actually belittled the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fact that there's different understandings of the text of the Prophet shows his greatness. For instance, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Bukhari, pray as you've seen me pray. Do all the four schools pray identically? Similar? No, they all differ in slight details. So which one is correct then? So our response is they're all correct. Why? Because the Prophet prayed differently. Allah Ta'ala has preserved all the different actions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and is preserved in the school's understanding of the primary text. But if you say my way or the highway, you've actually lost so much of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, these incidents took place in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach you. Why did Allah Ta'ala cause that to happen? Because He was teaching you something there. He goes, you may have good intentions, you may respect what the Prophet is saying, but you have to understand what he's saying. If you don't, you'll cause more harm than good. That slip caused devastation. Think about that. You know, one of the great lessons we can take from that. Indeed, such is their status in the sight of our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have the following report. In Al-Khatib in his tariq, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pardoned are the sins of the generous, the mistakes of the scholar, and the hastiness of the just ruler, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has graciously taken from their hands all their stumbles and errors. Subhanallah. So what did our beloved messenger say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's three categories of people. Allah ta'ala loves them so much, He forgives them. He forgives them just because they're in those categories. The first is the generous. What famous hadith? In the hadith in Tirmidhi and Mishkat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the generous criminal more than the pious miser. Think, work that one out, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the generous criminal more than the pious miser. Because somebody goes, just break it down. Okay, I'll break it down. Completely off his head, he's a Muslim. Completely off his head, basically getting his faradin, but he's generous. How many sins is he committing? Allah Ta'ala has forgiven them. Because he loves the generous. Other person, close of the prophets, right? You know, everything you think, full sunnah, ishraq, chash, tajid, he's a conjuice. Right? Allah Ta'ala doesn't like that person. That's the first category. Secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the mistakes of the scholar, he forgives them. Why? Because they're striving their best to try to get the correct understanding. Allah has forgiven them. Because these are the keepers of my creation. You're not automatically forgiven. They are. And thirdly, the hastiness of the just ruler. So you gotta rule it just, but he does something snap, you know, he says, he makes a snap decision. Allah Ta'ala forgives him because of his overall goodness, his justice. Because Allah Ta'ala has taken from their hands all their stumbles and errors. So think about that. If Allah Ta'ala is venerating them, showing them extra care and attention, love, who the hell are you? Think about that. You get people now. They go, oh, he's not a scholar. Because once he said this. And you go, what do you mean? Because he was alright until he made that statement. So are you going to forgive him? No. He's not even a scholar now. In fact, I warn people against him. Then you say, that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, brother. Then the guy looks at you, what do you know about, brother? Allah Ta'ala forgives the mistakes of the scholars. You're the complete opposite. So I think you're following Shaitan Sunnah. There you go. Right? Why? No fiqh. You know, play a thing with, you know, the Shaitan. And this is why it's so important to finish with the famous hadith in Tirmidhi and Riyadh al-Salihin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who does not venerate our scholars, respect our elders, and show kindness to our youngsters, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, he doesn't belong to me. Three categories. Does not respect our scholars, because you got nothing to do with me, the Prophet said. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respect the elders. You got nothing to do with me. And show kindness, affection to the youngsters. Because you got nothing to do. Who was the first category he mentioned? That Allah alayhi sallam. So note, by respecting them, hopefully Allah Ta'ala will forgive us our failings as well. So note, it's all for your own benefit. You understand? People say, why are you showing disrespect? You're putting pride in his heart. You're going the wrong way, brother. I'm showing respect to benefit myself. Don't think I'm benefiting him. I'm benefiting myself. You understand the mindset, right? So again, very important to have this understanding. So all I mentioned today was basically, I mentioned a few things about the Honorable Tabi'in, Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani. What a great man he was, rahmatullah alayh. And then I mentioned that knowledge can be gauged through zuhd. Very important. Your detachment to the world. Otherwise, you go in the wrong way. Think about that. And then I mentioned, of course, the status of the ulama. And the importance of fiqh. I.e. the correct understanding of the deen. Just to add, which sahaba narrated the hadith? Right? Think about that. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for the servant, he gives him the correct understanding of the deen. So obviously some sahaba heard that from the Prophet. On whose authority do we get that hadith? Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhum. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, right? Think about that. People targeting him. He fought Ali. He didn't know what he was doing. He this, that, that. One question, just one. This is a hadith he narrates from the Prophet. What? When Allah Ta'ala wants good for the servant, he gives him the correct understanding of the deen. So I'm not an alim, but I would bet, if I could gamble my bottom dollar, that the one who told you that, he's going to have the correct understanding of the deen. What were you saying about him? There you go, look how amazing that is. Right? Allah Ta'ala chooses the Sahaba from where these narrations come. But it's on his authority, Sayyidina Muawiyah. Any questions? سبحان ربي الحمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصل بالحق ونواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم